Stuck in traffic? Waiting in line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the football game on Facebook. Download the digital version of the Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Our units responded and were on scene within 3 minutes. The officers received fire from a suspect and they returned fire. And that part of the investigation is ongoing as we speak.
Let me be as clear as I can be. Violence of any kind is unacceptable in our society, and I condemn this action in the strongest possible terms.
We are united. We are united in our shock. We are united in our anguish. An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us.
That's Alexandria, Virginia Police Chief Michael Brown, Senator Bernie Sanders, and House Majority Leader Paul Ryan talking about this morning's shootings at a congressional baseball practice in Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be getting a pastoral perspective on the shootings in Alexandria this morning from Pastor Chris Eskett, who's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church there in Alexandria, and 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod here in the second hour of the program. Then we'll talk Elisha the prophet. Dr. Kevin Golden will join us as the church remembers this. He's not just a prophet, he's a miracle worker. And on top of being a miracle worker, he is tied together with his predecessor, Elijah. We'll talk about all of that as the church remembers him on June the 14th. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse has written recently about divorce enablers, talking about the liberal fantasy world that's wrecking children's lives. We'll talk about divorce and what keeps the industry going and keeps everyone, well, at least they say they're happy, but how much real happiness, especially for the children, is there after divorce in the last part of Issues, Etc., on this Wednesday afternoon. Feel free to join us with a question or a comment. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us for a pastoral perspective on the Alexandria shootings this morning, Pastor Christopher Eskett, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, and 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Christopher, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks very much. Great to be with you.
What was your first reaction and your first concerns when you heard about the shootings this morning?
Sure. Well, I heard about it in a bit of a roundabout way. I started getting texts as I was driving into church, so I hadn't heard about it yet. But while I was driving on the Beltway, I kept getting more and more text messages, and I was very concerned and wanted to read them. But I was able to just get a glimpse that something bad had happened near the church. So I switched to the news and heard a little bit. But the closer I got to church, the heavier the traffic was, and a very intense police presence. Now, I'm used to seeing all kinds of law enforcement vehicles all over the place, but they were stationed all up and down Russell Road and the surrounding area. Russell Road's where the church is, and so my first thought was make sure that everything at our church and school is safe. School is out, but our teachers are still here. It's a work week this week, and so my first concern was to make sure everybody was safe. And then I began to think about all the members of my congregation that work on Capitol Hill, and it's quite conceivable that some of them could have been taking part in this baseball practice. So I started walking down where this happened. Is less than a mile from the church, and it's an area that that we all frequent quite a bit. But as I started walking down to the area, I started calling members of my congregation that I know work on Capitol Hill, and glad to hear that they were all safe, but none of them had any more answers than were public at that point. It's hard for me to stress the nature of this area, where you have $1 million homes, very expensive apartments and condominiums and townhomes, with all within a very close walking distance to places where people are really struggling to make the rent. You have people new to America who are still learning English. And this is a place where you really do have a mix of people. And it's a heavily frequented area right across from where the shooting took place at the baseball field. There is a YMCA that serves a lot of underprivileged youth with their programs there, but also that members of our church frequently go to work out. There's a very popular grocery store right across the street, and I was just at the coffee shop that's adjacent to that just the other day, meeting with a prospective member. So it's a place where we all go frequently, and where any of us could have been. So I was concerned about the impact on church members that might have been there, but then for the community in general, because this is much bigger than just a political focused event. That there are lots of children in this area that could have been hurt.
What are you hearing from your parishioners? Thankfully, none of them involved in the violence this morning. But what are you hearing from them?
Well, people are very concerned and very anxious. It reminded me of the kinds of reactions that we had at September 11th. Obviously, nothing of that degree, but the realization that this hits very close to home. It's easy to imagine Washington D.C. as a place where all this governmental activity takes place, but we all live here as well, and so there's this sense of shock and fear that this is right, literally in our backyards where this is happening. And so there's fear and concern at the seeming randomness of it.
You had mentioned that you have a number of people in your congregation who serve on Capitol Hill and in other areas in Washington, D.C., inside the Beltway. And obviously, security is a big concern year-round. It's the seat of the United States government, and therefore probably not the most convenient place to live when it comes to all those security precautions. But what would you say pastorally to parishioners who have that sense of trepidation and fear, live with human security as a part of their daily life, about, well, to put it bluntly, not trusting in the power or the ability of man to ultimately protect us?
Right. Well, I think a lot of us who live here are very aware that some of the security around us is theater. It's there to make us feel safe, but you recognize that you really can't be protected. If somebody wants to do something, they can. Where we have to look is that we are constantly in danger. We are constantly threatened, and we cannot place our trust in princes. We can't place our trust in our strength, or in civil law. We have to place our trust in the one who underwent violence for us. I've been thinking a lot about, and we're going to have a prayer vigil at church this evening, and my focus is going to be on the Lord Jesus, who suffered violence for us and prayed for the very people who were persecuting him. And then, when he came to the disciples, who they were as traitors to him because they ran away. Peter denied him, and Jesus comes and he says to them, "Peace." So Jesus forgives. But then we're going to close with the Collect for Peace, which asks God to give us the peace that the world cannot give. So that really has to be our focus, and that's my focus as I talk to people, is that we need a peace that the world cannot give. Nobody can really keep us safe, but there is one who has promised to redeem us, even when the worst comes, when death comes, be it naturally or suddenly.
According to news reports, the man suspected of this shooting he was confronted by the police and shot, taken to the hospital, and later died. But irrespective of his condition there or his motivation, talk about the need for Christians to pray for their enemies, to pray for those. In the case of this man, we don't know what drove him, but who would do us violence?
Absolutely. That has to be a chief priority. And Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies, and it forces us to forces us to stop and to be compassionate toward those who would do us harm, those who are on the other side of where we are. There's a coarsening in our culture, which may have been part of the motivation here, where we've come to see, you know, fellow Americans as enemies, and sometimes even people within the church, as enemies. And the goal is to defeat them, rather than to share with them peace. So I think that has to be, obviously we're not going to, the man has died, so we can't pray for him this evening, you know, in that sense, but I'm very much going to include prayers and petitions, you know, for people who would be our enemies, and that we need to speak peace to them and live peacefully towards them.
What do you have to say pastorally about the atmosphere of division, not just political division, but it goes beyond politics now to, and I don't know why it is, but it goes beyond politics into a kind of a personal, visceral division in our nation? What do you say as a pastor to that?
Well, I guess what I say to that is that there's something that there are two things that bind us together. Within the world, there is our common humanity, that we are all brothers and sisters, that we all come from a common father and share a common humanity, and that our differences, whether they're political or religious or cultural, can never become more important than that. And part of our great American tradition at its best is that we transfer power peacefully. We resolve our differences peacefully, and I'm very concerned to see that eroding. But also, within the church, you see all these examples of in the Gospels of the disciples themselves contentious with one another. Right when Jesus institutes the supper, they begin to argue with each other as to who's going to be the greatest in Jesus' kingdom. And in John's Gospel, and same context of the supper, none of the disciples want to wash the feet. Jesus ends up doing it, which is a tremendous example of sacrifice and servanthood. And that's the attitude that we need to have.
Pastor Christopher Eskiet is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, and 6th vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Christopher, thank you very much for your time, and our prayers are with you and your congregation.
Thanks so much, Todd. Great to be on.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time remembering the Old Testament prophet Elisha, who is, well, he's more than a prophet, but he's also, well, you can't cut him off or disconnect him from his predecessor, Elijah. The church remembers Elisha on this day. We'll do so also with Dr. Kevin Golden, pastor of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois,
Trinity Lutheran, Gladsen, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.